Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
So we are re-recording the beginning of this because we went down into the common thought of like what this idea of it, of seeing everyone as an individual. And, you know, Kristen Neff, she's doing similar view, but kind of a different side of that view when she's talking about this commonality, right? She's talking about, you know, more of what Jen's saying. And Jen, like, I guess what do you feel like the difference is of like the popular perception of this topic versus what Kristen Neff is trying to, I guess, teach us about it?
I think she split it down the middle. I think she took, yeah. I think, and I like that these two episodes are kind of right there in the middle together, mm-hmm. because there's the aspect of how do you treat yourself, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I see a lot of people are really critical, but there are quite a few people that I work with that are way more compassionate towards other people. They give them a lot more grace. They say, well, they made a mistake. Well, to themselves, their own mistakes are horrifying or shame riddled, or, you know, they don't treat themselves as if it's okay to have a bad day or make a mistake. And so this first part that we look at with the tenderness is that tenderness towards self. And I think we start with tender self-compassion specifically because as we learn to be tender with ourselves, it moves us into other action and how we can show up better in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably the part of self-compassion I see people struggle with the most, that it's okay to make a mistake and not have a mistake define you. And I think there are generally two responses to this part of self-compassion. Either I am the sum total of my mistakes and really nothing more, or the opposite, where people don't ever acknowledge their mistakes and there's this inability or unwillingness to acknowledge the feeling of shame, which is just another way that pride shows up.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard for people to recognize that every human, again, common humanity, has strengths and weaknesses. So while there's going to be things that I might be good at, there are going to be things I'm not good at all. And if I focus on those things, or I hide those parts of myself from my partner or my friends, or even walk into that place of I'm only focusing in on the things I'm not good at, then I won't be able to move into what is probably my personal genius, which is the things I excel at.
And well, I like that term, personal genius. That's nice.
We won't find it if all we do is criticize ourselves. We also can't find it if we say I'm good at everything. That's not even reality. Nobody's good at everything, right? There are things that each of us is personally good at. I know that when I look at my friends, I can say, you know what, this friend, I'll use you guys because you're on the podcast. You know, Taylor has really great ability to be gentle, to see multiple sides of a situation. He works really good with systems and complex situation. Haley is somebody who takes a broader perspective. She can see multiple angles from a more metacognition place that I really appreciate about her. And at the same time, there are things that we all don't do well. Right.
And we're going to list them all here.
Right. Just exactly.
Just kidding.
Exactly.
Not race myself.
Yeah.
But in understanding that I did not say we are all perfect and we are all perfect therapists and we would be the great match for anyone that's out there. We didn't say that. What we said is that we all have our own personal genius and we all have things we really struggle with. And by understanding that I am somebody who struggles with things and getting to that place where I can say, that's okay. It's okay. I'm never going to be a basketball star either, Taylor. Of the three of us, Haley's the most likely one. She's the tallest.
Most
she's
athletic.
She spends the most time at the gym.
I
right?
know how to swear just like a basketball player.
Exactly.
It's the only thing I need.
Let's get them 0 to Sailor. Where does a basketball player land?
That's okay.
Depends on what team they're on.
I always think about, you know, because we've spent time on teams forever, I think, gosh, if I need to know details of theories and those kinds of things, I go to Taylor because he has an aptitude towards details and remembering things and knowing sources and those. That's not my genius. I don't think it's Haley's genius either, and that's okay. And so as we look at it and we take it back and we pull ourselves into families, we might look and say, oh my gosh, my brother is so good at XYZ, or my sister is so good at this, and I'm the worst kid in the world. No, that's not true. We just have different experiences. And even being willing to call it what's my genius, and knowing I have skills that are special and I have weaknesses that are real, and that's what makes me a unique individual. That's what that common humanity is talking about, is that it is the opposite of perfection. There's a fly in here, you guys.
Go ahead and kill the fly.
So what do we do to gain more of it?
I think the approach I take with my clients, I guess I'll say, because there's more than one way to approach this, but the one I like the most is distress and shame tolerance. And the way I approach it is with exposure therapy. So getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so doing something kind of silly and then doing increasingly silly things, because embarrassment is next to shame, and embarrassment is safe until we can get to a point where we can develop a different relationship with shame. So maybe I'll sing I'm a Little Teapot in session, and the amount of discomfort a client will feel watching me just be silly, because we're not supposed to be silly ever, especially as adults, is really hard for them to bear at first. And then we use a coping skill. And then we get increasingly silly from there until they can practice being silly.
I think it's interesting because that idea of being uncomfortable is a big part of common humanity, is suffering. Discomfort is a type of suffering. Now, it's not the same thing as grieving or loss, but it is. Yeah,
suffering's a big umbrella for sure.
Yeah, but that ability to say, oh my gosh, I'm uncomfortable, or I know what it's like to lose someone. I know for me, part of my common humanity is because I've lost a parent. My father died 7 years ago. Whenever I hear of somebody losing a parent, I don't just think about them. I have the empathy for that, but I also stop and I think, gosh, it's hard. It's hard to have dad gone, right? And there are some impacts that has. And it's okay that I have moments where that still is part of a suffering experience for me, rather than saying, no, I'm fine. I don't need to grieve, or I don't have any complex emotions related to those things, right? And so when other people have a complex response, because I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, I'm working on allowing my own suffering to be something I can sit with, like Taylor was talking about, I've exposed myself to it and I've sat with it a little more. I actually have developed the ability to understand that it's actually really common, that suffering and joy are both common if we allow them to be.
Not only just common, but like it's purposeful to use those things. Like I think if someone were to hear like suffering, you know, that's really common, it's like, well, yeah, the world sucks, right? Like it's like, yeah, it's very common. But I think with what you're saying, you're looking at it and saying like, it's common and we get something from having those experiences, and we come out of it in a growth mindset, hopefully, right? Sometimes we don't, and that's fine. And that's where I think therapy is involved. That's where self-work comes in, self-reflection. And what Kristen Neff is saying is, you know, we have these, like you were referencing the very beginning, like parent looks at a parent's having their child freak out in a grocery store. That's not usually your top 10 worst moments of your life, unless it's like a freak out, right? But at the same time,
knocking like, down displays,
you know, but at the same time, it's one of those moments where I don't take that and go, well, that's another worst moment of my life. I take that and I go, okay, well, I learned we're not going to go before nap time, right? I learned where this is the purpose of what this experience is going to give me. But we don't want to go too far to the side too, though. I just want to put a caveat. We're not going to make every moment a learning opportunity. We can always just take it as that was a crappy moment. Like there were moments like deep trauma in my life that people would say, well, what'd you learn from it? And I'm like, shut up. I learned I got hurt. Like that's about it. And so she's not saying do avoidance. She's not saying denial. She's not saying ignorance in that. She's just stating, hey, when you want to, that's part of that self-compassion of instead of turning it to myself and saying, now this means something awful about me because I had to do A, B, and C, or because I did A, B, and C. It's looking at it and saying, all right, when you're ready to kind of maybe put self-compassion in the mix, you don't have to, but when you're ready to, here's how that looks. And so it's just that realization for it. And because I know so many people would take that, and I already know people send our podcast to people, and sometimes it's appropriate and sometimes it's not. And I know sometimes, you know, if they were to hear like, hey, I know you've had a really rough time, but here's how you have self-compassion. It's like, you know, let's be an advocate for the ones who've gone through hard things and aren't quite ready to add self-compassion to the mix, because they got to do the basic healing first. And so you got to have some sort of foundation to build self-compassion on. And if you're not ready yet, that's fine. It's not because you're behind. It's simply because like you got other things to work on to get out of that crisis mode. The self-compassion can come later if you need to, like, that's okay. Like you don't need to come home from your grocery store visit with your toddler and be like, well, what did I learn today? You can come home and just rant to your partner and say, oh my gosh, can you believe this? Right. And your partner gives you space, and then you have self-compassion later.
I actually think that ability to say it was just hard without going to, you know, a growth mindset or even some toxic positivity experience of like, how do I, you know, how do I write a post about how I overcame my toddler today? I think you just go to this place where you said that was just hard. It's interesting. People. So we're recording this right after the eclipse that was earlier this week. And
that was only 3 days ago.
Right. And it was interesting. I was watching the news just before. I'm here in Texas. And so NASA, they had a whole like, let's watch until the whole thing comes. Well, it's interesting. I think it was the Surgeon General, don't quote me, but it was some government official who was saying, this is a really good experience that so many people are having the same experience at the same time. Right. And that will actually bring us closer. And I thought that was interesting that was part of the news, is to say for all of us to have the same experience, for all of us to take a minute and just be present in the same place, was powerful in connecting to community. Both in
small, almost like 10% of Americans didn't need to leave their home to see it.
Yeah. And both on a small scale of who you maybe watched it with personally, to a larger scale of just knowing, oh yeah, that was today. That just like we have holidays and other things, those types of things join us and they have those experiences together. And so when we talk about common humanity, we can look at what do we experience together, and do I allow myself to be one of those people who experiences it together? Or do I tell myself, well, it's okay for everyone else to take, you know, 2 hours out of their day and watch the eclipse, but I'm not allowed to. And this is a metaphor that you can use, right? Mm-hmm. And I think just repeat what I love what Haley said. You do not have to have a great growth experience every time you have a hard day. You're allowed to just have a hard day. You're allowed to go to bed early. You're allowed to eat off your eating plan. You're allowed to binge watch something every once in a while so that you can just move forward with your life. Perfection and exactness, is not how humans work.
One of my favorite quotes is, it's possible to commit no errors and still lose. So even if you want to learn something every time, which I don't know is possible, sometimes
who
there
is. Who are you? For the love, who would want to do that?
Let's put you in a power plant and power a small city. But like sometimes things just happen outside of our control. And it's important to just know that even if we did make a mistake, sometimes we didn't.
Sometimes life just happened. And life just happens to all of us sometimes.
So have self-compassion. And if you don't, you're not going
to
make it.
And I'd be curious as you're listening to this, and we're only three, I can count, episodes into this topic so far. Which of these topics about self-compassion have you had the biggest reaction to? And what was that reaction? Has this topic pissed you off? Has it felt validating? Have you thought about, oh, so-and-so really needs to hear this? Because in my experience, generally the thing that we think other people need to hear the most, we're usually not paying attention for our own sake if we're really thinking about someone else. And with self-compassion, again, the compassionate part, I think people do much more easily, and the self part we really struggle with.
Well, and the other aspect I think to pay attention to is if you're saying people are too compassionate towards themselves, you might have some trauma you need to work through, because there is no such thing as being too compassionate towards yourself. That's not the same thing as victim stancing.
Yeah, people think that that means like you're not ever going to be accountable to yourself. You're not going to have standards. That's not what that is.
Right. But it usually is a form of, no, I wasn't allowed to feel all my feelings, and so now I'm not going to give other people permission to feel all their feelings. Mm-hmm. Might have just called a few of you out. Sorry, love you.
Not really, though. We aren't that sorry. That's our job.
True. You would have called me out 15 years ago.
Oh, I think this is a good place. I think as we do this, and we wrap up this part of tender self-compassion and we go into the more action-oriented stuff, again, want to just remind you that it starts with the work you're doing internally. It's not about whether you are accomplishing a task list. It's about how you're treating yourself.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.